Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 17th episode in the Co-Pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle a little more doable, especially when facing a lot of the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. I had the good fortune of meeting today's guest and her kids recently at the New England Veg Fest, and it was amazing. She was also a recipe tester for one of my cookbooks, so she's got a lot of sort of background and insider information that she can share. But she's also a mom, and she struggles with a lot of the mom things, and she's married, and she's had to kind of convince her husband to come over to the plant side. She's also gluten-free, and interestingly enough, she grew up vegetarian. Her family was vegetarian. She kind of wavered, kind of came around, very progress, not perfection. So a lot of things we can all relate to today. I'm really excited to have her. So please help me in giving her a really big hand. Welcome, Casey.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, thank you so much for being on. I was so thrilled when you agreed. So I guess we'll just jump right in. And one of the things that I really loved about your story, because it reminded me so much of myself, is that your family went vegetarian when you were a kid. Now, I was the only vegetarian in my family, but your whole family went vegetarian. But you kind of fell out of it because of, like, social pressure and peer pressure in your teens, which is exactly what happened to me. So maybe you can sort of tell us about your family going vegetarian and then sort of what happened with you. And I think you said your brother is still vegetarian 30 years later now?
Almost 30 years. Yeah, he is. When we were pretty young, I was about 11, my brother was 9, we sort of came upon some animal rights literature that my parents had and pretty much just looked at that and was like, wow, I can't believe this exists. We had no idea. And pretty much told our parents we were never eating meat again. And they were pretty on board. I mean, my parents are animal lovers. We always were sort of rescuing animals, that kind of thing. And so we quickly, as a family, went mostly vegetarian. If I remember correctly, I think we still ate fish at that time. So throughout my sort of middle school and high school years, I did not eat meat, occasional fish, but pretty little, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then somewhere towards the end of high school, beginning of college, I just started to realize that, like, I felt very different. I self-esteem was a problem for me all along. So I wasn't getting bullied or anything. I didn't like going places and not really feeling like I was the same as everyone.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I don't even remember. It wasn't a conscious decision. I never said, oh, I'm just not going to do this anymore. It just sort of slowly over time, I started taking it, eating meat here and there and went back full on meat and cheese crazy.
And that was sort of like for me too. I don't remember ever being like picked on. I mean, my family definitely was kind of pressuring me at a lot of different points. And some of my guy friends would tease me and be like, well, I'll bet you. And if you lose, you have to eat a burger. But I mean, it was really a jest. I don't think they would have ever actually made me do it or really kind of like pressured me. But I felt that same way. And I think a lot of young women, especially, in the high school and college time, it's a rough phase, it's a hard phase for anybody, and to feel even a little bit different can be really extra challenging, because I think a lot of young girls, even if they're not going to admit it, they are struggling with self-esteem. I know I was, and never would have admitted it.
I would say, honestly, until in my 30s, now I'm in my 30s, I was very, uncomfortable in my own skin, and I think when I finally, I went back to meat, long story short, I went back to meat and sort of when I had my first child, she had some food allergies and I had to give up milk and eggs again for her. And it sort of started that again. I thought, oh, I remember this. Wait a minute. When I started revisiting the sort of the animal things and the, environmental, and it wasn't about health at that time for me. And, then as time progressed, I just wanted it less and less, and I read more and more, and I watched videos and read books and all this stuff, and I eventually went totally vegan in 2011. So it was sort of a slow progression for me back to it, but I, as far as the self-esteem goes, that's when I really, I think, came into my own, because I really owned it. I was like, this is what I wanted since I was a kid. Why did I get away from that,
It's so interesting you said that, because I remember before I was a vegetarian having this conversation with my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, and I was telling him about how I was a vegetarian for, you know, all these years in my childhood. And I made this comment to him that I never knew myself as well as I did when I was a vegetarian. And that sentence came out of my mouth, and I heard it. It's almost as if I was listening to my own conversation, and I heard myself say that, and it like you said, it clicked something, and I'm like, wait, why am I not being true to myself?
Right, exactly. That's kind of how this happened. It happened to me, but it was a little more slow. And I, you know, I'm just nowadays, you know, I'm just more into the things that I'm into. And I just, if somebody's into something different, that's fine. But I am completely confident in the way that I live my life, which, you know, it has taken me 30 years to get to that point again, you know.
Right.
Get away from it and back to it. So
another similar story that we both have is that when we stopped being vegetarians, we both gained a lot of weight and quickly, and our health really started to decline. And I know, like me, you've also battled depression and anxiety. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that kind of came on about the same time. I, you know, when I went back to the sort of the standard American diet, I was eating just garbage all of the time. I have struggled with binge eating since I was a kid. I used to hide food a lot, even as a small child. And then, you know, once I went back to meat and stuff, I put on at least 20 pounds, probably more. And then, you know, over years, it just every year I got a little bit more and a little bit more. The depression came because I was eating. I felt guilty, you know, and I had all this anxiety around my eating behaviors, you know. And then I met my husband when I was 21, so I was still well within this whole cycle, and that I was embarrassed, you know, I was embarrassed by that behavior and my weight, and it just sort of snowballed out of control. I mean, I don't really know how I even got to that point. And then, you know, once I kind of more recently cleaned up my diet, and it's unbelievable that I look back at the, you know, the irritable bowel and the migraines and the, you know, just feeling tired all of the time and foggy, and all of these things were food related. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my diet under control and those things are just gone, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the most amazing things for me as well. Is I actually was at the dentist today and I was talking to this woman. I heard her say that she had migraines. And I said, you know, I used to have terrible crippling migraines all the time. And, you know, I changed my diet and it really, really helped me. And she was just like, you don't get migraines anymore. And I had to sit there and I honestly could not remember the last time that I had a migraine. And I used to have them at least once or twice a week.
Yeah, I did also. I used to get them a lot. They were more gluten related for me. I found that when I finally gave up gluten, it was, you know, I get them occasionally now, but it's very, very rare. And maybe that's part of the whole plant-based thing. Like, as I'm cleaning up my diet, things are just sort of, you know, getting less and less for me, a lot of my problems.
Yeah. Well, and it's true. And I've definitely found the longer I've been plant-based, because I've been plant-based for almost 10 years now, that I'm just becoming, it's more clear. It's like fine-tuning. Like, I felt great the whole time, but now, like you, I'm really starting to, like, zoom in and figure out exactly, okay, when I eat this, I don't feel as great, or when I eat this, this is really agreeable to me. And that's something, it's interesting that you're experiencing that too. And I think it's true for everyone is, for a while, you're just kind of coming back to nature. You're kind of just clearing out, spring cleaning the whole thing. And then you start to see when the mud tracks back in. You're like, oh, okay. That's not ideal for me.
Exactly. I mean, I find now that, you know, if I eat something, you know, I'm not completely oil-free, but I do my best. That's what I'm kind of working on now. If I eat something that's very high fat, it upsets my stomach. You know, if I drink alcohol, which I still do on occasion, you know, it doesn't sit well with me. You know, I mean, it's not good. It's, you know, obviously gluten is a problem for me. If I eat that, I become very sick. You know, and it's just so fascinating to me. I can't learn enough about how food, you know, affects your body. I mean, at this point, my husband is tired of listening to me talk about everything.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I agree with you completely. I mean, I'm oil-free most of the time, but I will occasionally have it, whether I'm, you know, out celebrating and I have some, you know, tasty vegan treat, or I'm just, there's always these occasions. It's not 100% all the time. And I'm the same way as you. I treated myself. I was just dying for like an old school, like, burger, and so I got like a fake patty and put on a bun and all the condiments, and it was tasty, but ooh, did my stomach hate me later?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I knew I should have made a bean burger. I knew it.
Exactly. I mean, I do the same. My husband and I will occasionally sit down, you know, to watch a movie or something, and, you know, we make a drink and we get out the, you know, you have chips and salsa or something, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, we just drank way too much and ate way too much. The next morning I wake up and I'm miserable. And I'm like, why did I do that to myself? Why? I knew in the moment that that was a bad idea. And then, you know, there it is. But so, you know, it's, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, alcohol is a funny thing. I decided for New Year's, I was like, I got to come up with something that I need to do. And I couldn't come up with anything else. And so I decided to be dry for January. So I didn't have anything to drink the whole month of January. And then in February, I was like, oh, that's all right. I can drink January. Is over, and I was out with my girlfriends, and I had just like a very simple drink. It was like vodka. It was like a flavored vodka, like I don't know, vanilla or something. And I think it was like mixed with just club soda. I mean, it couldn't have been any cleaner. And after one drink, I was like, I think I'm drunk. And then the next morning, I felt terrible. I had a headache. I felt gross. You would have thought I went out and drank like 12 shots. I felt that sick, and I had one drink. And I was like, what? I drink way more in college, and I was fine.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I think, though, I was thinking about this recently because I have the same problem. I drink one glass of wine, and I wake up with a headache as if I drank seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because, you know, now that my body is just, I'm running things a little cleaner, you know, it just doesn't, I don't have that, I'm not feeling terrible at baselines.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I'm feeling kind of good, and then so I notice it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas before, I sort of always felt bad, so.
And you recently noticed, and you mentioned earlier about you can't eat gluten anymore, but this was a recent realization for you.
Yeah, over the last, I mean, I've always had so many GI problems. It was just, it's just always been an issue, sorry, my son just woke up. I just sort of started having problems that were getting worse and worse and worse. My stomach was just, I was in pain all the time. Every time I ate something, I was just miserable. And when I went to the doctor, you know, they couldn't find anything wrong. And finally, I think, got tired of talking to me. And so I just decided, you know, it sounds like gluten. Like, I don't know why they don't think that's an issue. They were sort of blowing me off. And so I decided to eliminate it. On my own, and it was unbelievable. You know, within a couple of weeks, I was like a new person. I couldn't believe it. And then I stayed off it for a while and thought, nah, that probably wasn't it. Went back to it. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh no, I really want to eat some bread. And I sort of went to town for a whole day, and I was miserable.
Oh.
I mean, it was just, you know, instant migraine, you know, nausea, feeling overfull, the whole diarrhea. It was just awful.
But at least, so, you know, now you had your confirmation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and so it doesn't show up on a test anywhere. I mean, and there's nothing, you know, that shows up on my blood work or any of that. I just can't have it. I don't know why. My body just doesn't tolerate it. And, you know, now I'm kind of used to it at this point. I've done it for, I don't know, a year or more now. You know, and there was a big learning curve, but it was like going vegan. I just sort of had to start cooking more. I started doing so much more baking at home or different things. And now it's like anything. The more you do it, the more you learn, the easier things get. And you just sort of, you end up cooking the same handful of things anyway. I mean, that's kind of what people do. You know, you sort of get on a roll and you sort of decide what you like and you don't like and you hone your skills. And I did that around gluten as well. So.
Absolutely. I found that true as well. Nuts and I don't sit well together. And at first I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But like you said, you just kind of relearn and you get used to it. And then you don't even, I don't even miss them really anymore. I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll live, you know. And I used to make things with cashews like constantly, but I think my waistline has definitely improved since I found out I had that sensitivity. But a good thing is the meal plans are always gluten-free. So that's very helpful for people like you. And we also have, if you're a member of Meal Mentor, you can actually download a free elimination diet, which is a great thing to do. If you're in this situation where you keep having this fatigue or this rash or migraines, or you're just not feeling well and you can't figure out what it is, an elimination diet can really help. And it's really helped me kind of figure out not just foods that I'm allergic to, but there's also some things I'm just really sensitive to. For example, I can eat bananas and I can eat oranges, but together bananas and oranges do not work so well with me.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I recently, around that same gluten time, I had a yeast sort of problem in my gut as well. And that was a whole nother like nightmare. And I had to go on this big crazy elimination diet. And it was, you know, but to find out that I had all these food sensitivities, and some of them have worked out now that I've cleaned up my diet as a whole, my gut is healing itself. And so it's, you know, now I'm just sort of left with the gluten thing. But recently, I became an annual subscriber to the meal plans, and I really started cooking from those, and it's been great. And I've dropped like 20 pounds almost
awesome.
Immediately. It's so crazy. They just sort of fell off. And, but in that, you use a lot of mango, and I bought a mango and I thought nothing of it. I brought it home and I sort of had an itchy face, and I'm like, oh, what, I don't know what that is. And I, you know, next day I pick up the mango again and I put, you know, this is like me. I move it around the counter for like 3 days, you know, as I'm like, oh, I'm going to make that thing. And I'm finally getting around to making this salad dressing that I was going to use it for. And immediately my face just like broke out in a huge rash. So as it turns out, now I'm, apparently I can't eat, you know, right, a regular mango. If it's frozen, it doesn't seem to bother me. I don't know if it's the skin or what, but.
Yeah, I've heard there's mango allergies are actually common. And what it is people, if they eat them, they get a rash around their face and their mouth and their hands. Yeah. But if it doesn't actually touch them, like if it just goes in their mouth, this doesn't happen. It's a very peculiar,
yeah.
Mango allergies are very peculiar and they're different to each person, but a lot of members have them. And I always tell them to just use peaches instead, but it's very curious. I mean, we do get a lot of emails about the mango. So
yeah.
It's a weird fruit. It's a quirky little booger.
It's so odd. I mean, and you know, and again, I know my story just sounds kind of crazy sometimes now that I'm sort of saying it out loud. I'm like, I have all these problems. But, you know, they just have sort of surfaced over years' time. And, you know, my husband is like, nothing's ever wrong with me. Why do you have all these problems? And I'm like, I don't know. But luckily, I finally found a solution, you know, and the solution is a clean diet, you know, low fat, no oil, you know, plant-based diet. It's the only thing where I feel like for the first time since I had actually, you know, since I went on the meal plans mostly exclusively, I'll occasionally cook something else. For the first time walking around, my stomach feels like it's not there, as opposed to me noticing this feeling or that feeling, or it's, you know, painful or bloated or whatever. It just, it's like I don't notice it.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what you're talking about. It's like you forget you have a stomach and you're like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's just never happened to me since my teenage years. I mean, and even then, I'm not even sure it did. I had that, like, bloated, painful feeling for so long. I just felt like it was a part of me, you know?
Right. And I do, like I said, I don't think that there's all these things that are wrong with us necessarily, but the longer you keep junk out of your, you know, your diet and out of your body, the more you see, oh, okay, that stuff really is awful. And
yeah.
Yes, bread is like a funny thing with me as well. Like if I eat really processed, refined white bread, it really bothers me just terribly and for days. But then...
Yeah.
You know, I will go see my family in Europe and I'll go to the bakeries there where everything is kind of like freshly baked and it's like whole. The breads are so dark and dense. Like they're like the polar opposite of the white sandwich bread in America. I have no problem. And it's just the weirdest thing. And I'm just like, I guess that's my body telling me what's whole and what's not.
Right, exactly. I mean, I found too, once I had to, you know, I was sort of forced to go gluten-free, you know, and I started like cooking gluten-free bread myself and I was doing all this stuff and I was going crazy with it, then I realized, you know, the less I did it, the less I even wanted it. I mean, I can't remember the last time I baked a loaf of bread. I just don't even want it anymore. It's not worth the trouble and because it's not even that good. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
Like, bread, bread, bread. I can't get enough bread. So...
And a lot of the gluten-free ones hurt my stomach too, so I feel like it's just because they can get really, really processed as well, like super duper processed, even though they're gluten-free. It's like white rice flour, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, this is all that much better for me. But I'm the same way. I just got to the point where I would just rather have something with rice or over a baked potato instead.
For sure. I mean, I've definitely found that, like yourself, I know I've heard you say this before, that, you know, potatoes just keep me full.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. I don't, you know, in much more than rice or any of that, I would much prefer to eat a potato, you know, so.
Yeah, that's always been a big thing for me because, I mean, I do like a tortilla from time to time, and you can get brown rice ones, but most of the time I just would prefer to have my food over a potato.
Yeah, I agree.
They're just so good. So earlier, you mentioned that when you had your daughter, that's when you sort of started coming back to the plant-based diet because your daughter was having some allergies. And I hear this a lot. A lot of mothers have babies that are super fussy. And what it is the food the mom is eating is coming through the milk and the baby's having an allergy. And most often this is dairy and eggs. I think that was what was happening with your daughter too.
Yeah. At 2 weeks old, she started, you know, being really fussy. She was throwing up all day long, every day, never slept. You know, we had a really bad eczema, all these problems. And it took us a long time to sort of get anyone to pay attention to us. And when they finally did, I mean, her allergies were so bad. She had, at that time, right around 6 months old, I finally figured it all out. And she sort of tested positive to dairy, egg, and oats, actually. And then she, by elimination diet, she was positive for a bunch of other stuff. So it was really a challenging time. I mean, I was nursing her. I was starving. I was just angry that, like, I couldn't eat anything, you know. And she was miserable. And eventually I had to just give up nursing her and stuff so that I could eat and she could get what she needed. And now she's 6 years old, and she's outgrown most of her allergies, but she still is holding on to the dairy and egg allergy. So in our house, she has to eat baked egg and baked milk every day until she finishes outgrowing this allergy. It's like the constant exposure, you know, helps her outgrow it.
So
we have to balance the trying to eat whole foods, plant-based, and then get that little bit in for her. So occasionally I probably have an egg in something that I, you know, forget about or something. But for the most part, we're all, you know, vegan and in the house anyway, minus just her dietary stuff. But
which makes sense. And you have to do right by your kiddo. But yeah. Your husband, interestingly, is a firefighter.
He is.
So, and a lot of listeners, I am sure, are familiar with Rip of Engine 2, who is also a firefighter.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of Herbies of the Week who've been firefighters too. So I have to ask, because I always hear this, was he picked on? Because I hear firefighters are the worst in terms of mocking men.
Yeah, they gave him a pretty hard time in the beginning. Honestly, I mean, he kind of, when I first went vegan in 2011, he was very hostile. He was just, I was attacking him personally or something. I don't get it, you know, because I'm talking about what I'm eating now.
Right.
And over, you know, I just kind of stuck with it. And it was several years later that so 6 months ago now. So I have been for years doing this. I got him to watch Forks Over Knives, and he finally heard what I was saying, you know, and he finally got it. And he was like, I'm gonna give this a try. I'm like, okay. So we sort of started doing it at home, and then the first few times he ate at the firehouse, and he, like, didn't go in for the firehouse meal, or he was like, I'm just going to eat this potato and this, you know, green beans or whatever. And they were like, what are you talking about? you know, but he stuck with it, and he, you know, just defended himself. He's like, look, guys, you guys are killing yourselves, you know, and he would kind of talk to them about it, and they would give him a little bit of a hard time, but I think all in good fun, you know, they're very close. There's a lot of ribbing anyway, even when it's not about food. And now I think some of them, you know, they're into fitness, they're into health. I think some of them have made some changes as well. In their own lives, none of them have gone vegan, but they've definitely, they're thinking about it now, which is great. And they're sort of making some different choices, which is kind of nice.
Wonderful, yeah.
So he's, and recently he decided that he wanted to reintroduce chicken for some reason. He's decided that that's, you know, I don't know why but that's his thing. I said, you know what, I support whatever you want. I don't agree, but, you know, it's your body, but I'm not cooking it at home. And no, I'm not going to eat it at home. So he's probably, I would say, like 95%, you know, at this point.
Which is great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll take it. It's the same with the kids, you know. I don't actually push the kids to go in the direction I want to go. I make it very clear to them why I choose not to eat meat and dairy and all of that. But ultimately, like, if they're out of the house and, you know, they want to eat something, I let them do it. And I just feel like if they, you know, when they're old enough to make a choice, that they will make the one that's right for them, you know?
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went back and forth. Ultimately, when I originally sort of made that decision, it was more because my husband wasn't doing it at the time, and I was, and it wasn't an argument that we could really have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I feel pretty good about it. I feel like they're going to probably choose to go this way because they're both sort of animal lovers and all of that, so I think that they'll make that choice, but I feel like it's my job to more educate them than to decide for them.
I love that. Yeah. And you're leading by example, which is really the best way for anybody.
Yeah.
And your husband is too, with his friends, as you're seeing, it's rubbing off in different ways. And that's, sometimes it just takes to plant the seed and you just have to water it for a really long time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting that your kids are 4 and 6, and that's a hard age, I think, for, you know, no matter what the diet is in the family household, because kids are just so picky and fussy and trying to push back because they're sort of feeling that independence. You know, they're having their own thoughts at that age. How are you handling it? Are they good for you? Do they try things for you? What are they like?
Well, you know, 2 years ago when they were, you know, 2 and 4, they ate everything. They were totally into vegetables. I mean, it was great. I was like, oh, I'm the best kids ever. They eat everything. And then, you know, now at 4 and 6, there's a lot of pushback at the table. There's a lot of, you know, arguing here and there. But, you know, ultimately, it's, I just kind of, we don't cook 5 different dinners. We sort of have what we have. And the rule, you know, for us anyway, is that you have to try it. You know, you have to eat 3 bites. And if you don't like something, I won't make you eat the whole thing. I won't make it again. You know, that's fine. But you kind of have to try everything because, you know, they've been surprised. Just this week, I made something. Escaping me. It was something off of the meal plan, and they were like, "Ooh, I don't want that," you know. And 2 bites in, they're like, "Wait a minute, this is really good." I know, you know. So it's, you know, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. It's not. I definitely call my mom sometimes. I'm like, "Oh, these kids won't eat anything. They're driving me nuts." But you know, most of the time, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. They love it. Fruits, obviously. What kid doesn't love fruits?
Right.
You know, and a certain thing, I have like little tricks and things. Like if I found out at some point that they love cherry tomatoes, if I put them on their plate, they don't eat them. If I leave them on the counter in a bowl, they walk by and grab them all day, you know? And it's like, hey, there's a vegetable getting into them, you know?
So I know you watched one of my batch cooking videos.
Yes.
Yeah. And so have you started batch cooking, and how did that video, like, what did it do for you?
You know, I'm still sort of in the processing phase of that. It blew my mind is what it did for me. I'm like, oh my God, I could actually do that.
Yeah. So the video is basically me cooking all 7 meals for the week in an hour on camera. And I'm actually going to do another one here soon in, so there'll be a second one, and depending on when you're listening to this recording, it might be out. But yeah, tell me, I guess let's talk about how that was for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I've done the whole week once, and then, but most of the time, I get interrupted too much. It's really difficult to sort of set aside that amount of time, and also that all the food for a family of 4 doesn't always fit in the fridge at one time.
That's true. True.
So mostly what I do is I pick a couple, you know, 2 or 3 days of lunches and dinners, and I kind of get all of them together and get them in the fridge. So that way, everyone sort of has something to choose from. The breakfast we do on the fly, we tend to kind of eat the same things. And then, you know, that way I'm only doing it a couple of times in a week,
right,
as opposed to every day. But it's been great. It's changed my life. I mean, you know, my kids get off the bus at 4 p.m. You know, my daughter's in kindergarten. She doesn't get off the bus till 4. It's, we need to be eating dinner at 4, you know. And half the time you get off the bus, they want to go outside and play, and they're still young enough that I have to go stand with them, you know. I can't be standing at the stove for an hour while I'm trying to get something together, while, you know, because they don't want to be inside right now. It's
right.
Nice out, whatever. So it's really created a situation where I can spend more time with them. I'm less stressed out, you know, about getting good food on the table. We make better choices because the food's already there. I'm spending a lot less money at work specifically because when I go to work, I work 12-hour shifts. So I, you know, the people at work, they laugh at me. I go into my big grocery bag, you know, because I have to take, I work typically 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So I have to take a lunch, a dinner, you know, a couple of snacks. Like, I got to be prepared, especially with the gluten, you know, allergy and the vegan choice. It's like, I can't get food out where I am a lot. So it's been great for me. The batch cooking is really, like, I have all these choices ready to go, you know.
12-hour shifts is really long. Like, I can't even fathom that. And plus, of course, you're probably having to, like, get ready and have a commute. So it's probably more like a 14-hour all said and done, which is so much. So you really need to be prepared, especially, like you said, even, you know, even if you weren't vegan, just the gluten thing. You know, it's so hard to, you know, not find, because wheat is in, like, every processed food that would ever be in a vending machine, for example. Not that you want to eat vending machine food.
Yeah.
But you really have to plan ahead just for your ability to do your job.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, on a typical day that I'm working, you know, I'm up at 5:30 or so with the kids. I'm with them for several hours while doing, you know, whatever around the house. And then I leave for work at 11. I leave at 9:30 because I have an hour commute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm in the car. I work 12 hours. I have to drive another hour home. I mean, they're long days, so I can't. I've definitely been in a situation where I've been at work and there's nothing. I don't have food and there's nothing I can eat. And it's really miserable, you know? I mean, it's so the planning ahead and the meal plans and having that stuff just ready for me is key. I mean, because I can just grab it and go and I don't have to think too much about it. I mean, when I think about it is when the meal plan comes out on Wednesday, you know, I kind of decide that, you know, nobody's going to eat this one. Like, that's not the style of food we like. So I pick like two or three recipes that we're going to do and make the grocery list or whatever. And then there I go. So I don't necessarily always cook all seven, you know, of the meals because we don't need to here. We have, you know, if you cook one family style, you know, because we're two adults and two kids, they kind of last a little bit longer. So,
yeah, you could probably squeak out another lunch or something for you or your husband.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we just pick the ones we like and we, you know, some are really hits and some are like, you know, maybe we don't want that one again. But that's the beautiful thing about it. It's like there's always this variety. It's always kind of ready to go.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about the meal plans is you don't have to do all seven, especially with the family plan. You can just choose to do three or four, especially if, you know you're going to go out to eat one night. You know, a lot of couples have a date night, or you just want to, like you said, take something off or make an old favorite that you had, or even repeat something from a previous meal plan that you know the kids love. That's just, I love that flexibility. And I don't always necessarily make all seven either, because sometimes, you know, I'm just not feeling something.
You
always kind of have that kind of phase in your life where you're like, I'm just not in the mood for curry today, even though I normally love it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's what I was going to say is curries, for instance, I like, but no one else does. So I'll make the individual portion of a curry, and then I've got it for lunch for a couple of days, but, like, no one else is going to eat that. So we'll make the family portion of, you know, the beef bourguignon, for instance, from the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of mix and match.
That's cool.
And then, yeah, it's great. It works well for us. And then here and there, you know, like, I don't know, something out of one of the cookbooks that my husband likes. Okay, I'll put that in the rotation for the week. I'll fit that in where this other one was that we're not going to cook. So
yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I love all this. You've given such good practical advice, and I hope a lot of people who are new really get a lot from you. But you're still kind of new yourself, too. But it's a really great testament that there is a learning curve, but you learn kind of fast, especially when you're really excited and motivated. And So it's been really awesome having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Is there anything, any closing thoughts or tips for others out there?
I think that the biggest thing for me was just, is that it's not about perfection. You know, it's every day is new, you know, like it's, as you move forward, just keep learning and learning and learning. And, you know, I've done it over a lot of years. You know, I've just kind of slowly progressed to the point where I am. And now I can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel, like, oh, this is a big deal. This is really working. So I would just encourage people to push through and keep learning.
That's awesome. And congratulations again on the 20 pounds. It's incredible.
Oh, thanks.
And I can testify she looks amazing because I just saw her in person.
Thank you so much. I fit my pants again.
Very important to fit in one's pants. All right. Well, thanks again so much. And if you want to learn more about the meal plans that we've been talking about and everything that we're talking about on the Meal Mentor podcast, you can visit getmealplans.com. I'm your host, Lindsay Nixon. And thanks again, Casey.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks a lot.